Wow. We could go home already and we've had church. Mizpah, is that not right?
Amen.
That's amazing, the worship. Thank you all. And it's great to be here with you. Every year it's a highlight to come back here to Virginia. And so thank you so much for your support. Thank you for the beautiful hotel we're in and the wonderful food. It's just been a huge treat to us. Maybe my parents don't know this, but my wife and I were here on her 27th birthday, and we were on our way to Peru. We spent 2 years in Peru, and you all supported us and got us going, and many times that's what you need is just somebody to help you get going, so thank you so much. We went to Peru for 2 years, and then we started church in Switzerland in 1992. And that church is still growing, over 1,000 people. It's going big guns for Europe. For Europe, that's a big church. But about 15 years ago, I mean, I had 5 employees and all the big guns going and everything, but we got the left foot of fellowship from the church we started. And we started a new church before that. We started a church in Paris, France. We said, here we come. We got resources. We got young people, everything. And we look back to Switzerland, and they're sawing off the branch that we're standing on. The good news is the branch broke, and we're still standing there. But for the last 15 years, y'all have been supporting us. Up till that time, we had enough finances. The church didn't need support. But going to Paris is not Switzerland. It's a different ball game altogether. We needed prayer and support. And so you all were there to support us. And so we were in Paris for about 7 years. And then we started another church in Annecy, which is close to Geneva in France. And that church is going really big now. It's amazing what that church is doing. And so we're there for 2 years. I had my replacement before we started. It was a new apprenticeship for me to go by grace instead of just pushing it, you know, and forcing it. And it was a church just by the grace of God. And then we started this current church in Montreux about 10 years ago now. And y'all have been faithfully supporting us. And so thank you so much from the bottom of our heart. It's a beautiful place to live. Our house is just maybe 100 yards from there, that picture right there. And it's a strategic place. At the end of this month, I'll be in the Congo, in Kinshasa. It's the largest French-speaking city in the world, bigger than Paris. It's amazing, an amazing opportunity. The church in Paris, in Lausanne, the first church we started, is going great. We've got nothing against them. They're going, he's Swiss. Actually, he's my brother-in-law. You got to be careful, these two guys up front here. No. But he's Swiss, so he tells Swiss jokes. You know, I'm telling illustrations in my sermons about baseball diamonds and stuff like that, and he tells soccer things. So it's going great. But the amazing thing is everything that the Lord asked us to do is prospering. The Bible school, they gave us the boot because we started a Bible school and they didn't like that Bible school. But that Bible school has exploded during COVID. We started one Bible school in Geneva, and during COVID it expanded to Haiti, Kinshasa, Quebec, Marseille, Nice, Paris, and in near Bordeaux. And so, and the school in Kinshasa, there's 500 students. The school in Haiti, there's 500 students. The general of the army of Congo is a student in the school. The president of the Congo called us up, the director, and said, could you please come speak at the palace because I can't come to your church. So on Sunday morning, the director's in the presidential palace in Congo, and we were going to Bible school maybe 2 miles, and the traffic was so bad it'd take us an hour to get there. And this truck with about 10 military guys, machine guns and sirens, they take off down the left. So our taxi follows them. I'm going to follow him. So he follows this truck with these military guys, and they stop right in front of the Bible school, and the military guys get down and divide the Red Sea. And this little Mercedes, white Mercedes, pulls in. It's the general going to Bible school. And we just followed him, got out of the car. Big shots, you know. But from Switzerland, I can be there in probably 12 hours. But the directors who are living in America and Canada, it takes them like 35, 40 hours to get there. So we can go there. and it also in Quebec. So we'll be in Quebec in the month of May, and next month I'll be in Paris. And so it's just exploding. So thank you, Jesus. It's a wonderful. Amen. We just had Campus for Christ at our church in Montreux. Oh, really? We just had 10 Arabs come to our church, Christian Arabs. And they come, they spend their vacation money to come just to witness to the Muslims that are there. Because from the Middle East, you can be in Switzerland in 3 hours. It's like from here to Georgia. Yeah. It's not even to Texas. I mean, we could, if you all traveled to Texas, it'd be like us going to Ukraine. That's how close we are. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to work in Ukraine, and we've just this year built a church building in Bamako, in Mali, which is the desert and radical Islam. I can't even go there. Frenchmen can't go there. Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger are all rebelling against France, and they're connecting with Russia, which is unfortunate. But the gospel is spreading, and we can fund this church. We're the only supporters of this church. And the pastor called me up. He said, "You're the only people supporting us. Could you... why don't you choose the name for our church?" And our church is called Gospel Center Montreux. So I said, "Gospel Center Mali." No, I didn't say that. I was tempted. But I just said, "Hey, how about Grace?" And so the name of the church is Caris. Caris Bamako, which is pretty cool. Anyway, so things are going great. Catherine, my wife, is Swiss, and the three kids have all got master's degrees this last in May. At the same time. And my salary is very limited. We could never afford. They went to Harvard and University of Pennsylvania, and the youngest is in. I never could afford this. If I'd stayed in America and lived the American nightmare, dream, I never could have afforded this. If I worked my whole life, I couldn't have afforded it. But God opened doors. And so. And they're serving God. This morning I watched the service. My daughter's playing the worship. My son's translating into French. And so it's amazing. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your continued prayers. That's what makes all the difference in these schools and opportunities. Otherwise, it's just, a touristic thing. But thank you for your prayers. Amen. Well, hey, I got a word I've been sharing recently. And I'd like to share it with you all this morning from the Bible. If y'all stand up with me, please, so nobody falls asleep. Unless you're nursing kids or you're over 60, you can stay seated. But amen. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your praise, that you live in the midst of your praise of your people. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'd open up our hearts, that we could understand your word. And I pray it opened my mouth that I could speak it. It has to be you, Lord. That it would just open our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I forgot we do my slideshow. I'm a missionary, so my slideshow is the chocolates in the back, the little pictures on the chocolate. And then you're supposed to, as a missionary, I studied missions, you're supposed to wear the traditional Swiss clothing. So I thought I could just show you my Edelweiss up here. And this is what I put on in the mornings when I go to work. Actually, this is a fake. But they do wear this. And they have these huge guys wrestling. They call it, they wrestle with it's a burlap. Kind of a sackcloth underwear over top of their jeans, and they wrestle in sawdust and sand, and it's kind of like judo, really, Swiss judo. You don't want to mess with them, I promise you. But anyway, that's what we wear. And how many of you like to yodel? Anybody like to learn how to yodel? It's easy. All you got to do is say, "Old lady, old lady, old lady, yoo-hoo." Let's try it, okay? Old lady, old lady, old lady, yoo-hoo. You see, easy, easy. Sorry. Okay. Hey, look in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I'll let y'all find it. It's worth looking at with your own eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. This is, the context is, chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are ambassadors for Christ. We beg of you, be reconciled to God. Because Jesus became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. God's not holding our sins against us, but he's forgiving sin. He's giving righteousness. That's the context. And then, boom, chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, ambassadors for Christ, we beseech you also that you do not receive the grace of God in vain. Many people receive the grace of God and it's sterile. It doesn't produce. It's just generically modified. You can eat it, but if you plant it, it won't grow anything. Many people receive the grace of God in vain. And he's saying, we pray that it will be alive in you. And then he quotes David from Psalms 95, I believe it is, for he says, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Amen. Healing is today. Yes. Deliverance is today. Missions is today. Yes. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. And it changes everything. You might say you're Catholic or Protestant. That doesn't make a difference. Are you a today Catholic? Or are you a former Catholic? Or are you a today Protestant? Is your faith real time? Or have you got an old time religion? Give me that real time religion. Real time. Active. Right this second. Today is the day of salvation. David, the King David, he could have said, well, when I become king, I'm going to do this and that. No, he was doing the work of a king before he ever got the title or the position. He didn't wait. But we procrastinate sometimes. We say, when I retire, I'm going to learn guitar. Man, don't wait till you retire. Congratulations, Ben. You just retired. And Dad. The bank is writing me letters about retirement. Get your house in order, your loan, and all this stuff. We put things off to retirement. Or when I have more money. Or when I get my diploma, I'm going to do this or that. When I get married, we put things off to the future, but the Bible says today is the day of salvation. I heard this story about this Catholic priest and a Protestant priest and a rabbi together. They were not in a bar. Okay, this is. They were just talking. They were debating. When does life begin? The Catholic priest, he said, life begins at conception. And he was adamant. And I tend to agree with the Catholic. The Protestant priest, he said, well, maybe 6 months after conception, life begins. And they were fighting back and forth. And they looked at the rabbi. And they said, what do you think? Jewish and everything. He said, well, I believe when the last kid leaves the house and the dog dies, that's when life really begins. But I don't think we should wait until the last kid leaves and the dog dies. Many times we're just putting things off, procrastinating. Yeah, God's going to heal me sometime in the future. Or maybe when I get this settled, when I get a better job, when I get out of this starter house and finally get a real house and all these things, we put things off. Or wait till President Trump is president. Don't wait for President Trump to become president. Oh, you guys turned Catholic on me right there. I'm not getting political. I've always been conservative. Praise God for whoever's president. But we can't wait 3 months. We need to be living right now. If you're looking for 3 months in the future, you're wasting 3 months of your life. What's going to, man, I get to do a lot of things in the next 3 months. I don't care who's president. Well, I do care who's president, but I'm not waiting for that. You guys following me?
Yes, sir.
Procrastination is the illegitimate child of someday I'll and his mother, if I only woulda. How many of you saw Napoleon Dynamite? That Uncle Rico. Man, back in 1980, if Coach would have put me in, we would have won state. I'd be sitting in a hot tub with my soulmate. And he's just dreaming about 1980. If I only would have. Flexing his muscles, thinking about 1980s. I had a revival back in the 1980s. Well, I think we can look back, and I think we can, if it inspires us, if it encourages us for the future. But if we're living back there, it's wrong. I just saw the movie Ronald Reagan. Man, you got to go see that. That's an incredible film. But man, we can't live back then. That was a great time. From the White House, he said, the year of the Bible, 1983. That's incredible. Amazing. But that's just to encourage us for the future. We're not supposed to live back there. Amen?
Amen.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That's a great song. I heard a young band do a remix of that song. It's really good. It encourages you. But if you sing that song wrong, it's bad. You slow it down. Slur it. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That will be. Well, it's like, you fall asleep on the second verse, man. We need to see Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. When we get to heaven, it's going to be awesome. That's for sure. I'm not joking. I'm not. But man, today we need to be in touch with heaven. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. Not in the sweet by and by. Not in the future. Not Uncle Rico in the past. My daughter, Rochelle, she came here a couple of times when she was just 6 years old. I was going to give her a spanking. And oh man, she is the fastest thinker I know of. And I was going, you go upstairs, you're going to get a spanking. So she's walking up those stairs. And she said, halfway up, she's top, she said, Dad, can't we just let God take care of this when we die? I couldn't spank her. She won. I had to spend an hour with her explaining to her that God is not big spanking in the sky when you die. But many people think God's just a judge in the future, that he's going to keep score. And yeah, Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. But man, don't wait. Don't wait. In Matthew chapter 25, there's a parable of the talents. God gave five, Jesus, the Lord gave five talents to one man, two talents to another, and one talent to one. You remember that story? And the guy who got five talents, he turned five into five. Two, he turned two more. But the number one, what did he do? He said, I'm going to wait till the master gets back. He's procrastinating. He's waiting for judgment day, hoping. You know, I don't know. He's actually scared. In the Message translation, it's kind of amazing. Let me see if I can find it real quick. The Message, let's see here. In Matthew 25. What does he say? The master was furious with this man. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do the less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the talent and give it to the one who risked the most. And get rid of this, play it safe, who won't go out on a limb, throw him into outer darkness. Because his faith was something in the future. The guy had five talents, two talents, their faith was now. They were acting like the master was right there next to them, approving of their investments, of their time management. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. The correct Christian worldview should be Jesus was crucified yesterday, this morning, raised from the dead, and he's coming back tomorrow. What a way to live. No? Amen. Jesus, the first time he preached in his own hometown, the first time he preached, he came back and he quoted Isaiah the prophet in Luke 4:18. And what did he say? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty the captives, to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. And then he sat down. And everybody said, yeah, Isaiah, that's pretty cool. That's good. But they're all looking at him to see what he's going to say. And when he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. That, and they take him to throw him off a cliff. Man, look, I couldn't preach that good. I couldn't preach so good to make you want to kill me. You might not come back next Sunday if I criticize the Redskins or something. I don't know. You might get a little angry, but you're not going to want to kill me. Jesus, he brought their faith and he brought it into the present. They said, yeah, we've got Elisha and Elijah. And he said, Elijah, back in the day, back in the good old days, Elijah was sent to a Phoenician woman, not a Jewish woman. Elisha healed a Syrian general. He didn't heal a Jewish person. Jesus was not racist. He was not anti-Semitic. He was just trying to get them out of the good old days where they had this emotional idea of Elijah and Elisha and bring it to the present. Faith was becoming real time. And they wanted to kill him for that because they wanted to keep their traditions. They wanted to keep things, the dust from, they didn't want to make any dust. But Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your sight. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a woman who's divorced 5 times. What is he even doing talking to somebody like that? Well, he's got a plan. And he tells her everything about her life, and she goes back, and all of Samaria is walking out to see Jesus. And as they're coming, his disciples are saying, what are you doing talking to a woman? And, you know, are you hungry? And he says, the food that I have, you don't know what it is. What nourishes me is doing the will of God now. And he told him, he said, you say in 3 months from now there's going to be a harvest. But I tell you, lift up your eyes right now. The harvests are white. The fields are white unto harvest now. Don't wait 3 months. Don't wait 4 months. Today is the day of salvation. Even his best followers, Martha and Mary, when Lazarus died, Jesus comes to town. And he says, he's crying, but he says, your brother is going to rise again. And Mary says, I know he'll rise again at the last day, at the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's today.
Yes, it is.
So Jesus, once again, he's bringing our faith into the present. Where's your faith today? Not 20 years ago. Not at the river when you got baptized 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I'm not going to mention more. Your brother will rise again. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, how can I apply this to my life? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, the author of this book said, exhort one another daily. Not every Sunday, exhort each other daily to make sure. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in when they didn't go into the promised land. Exhort each other. Make sure that you are hearing today. Hold fast to your confidence, your first love that you had from the beginning. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, the same context, the easy translation, I don't know if you ever read the easy translation. There really is one, I'm serious. This is what it says in verse 7. So God chose another time for people to go into his place of rest. Not just Joshua. He chose another time. He called it today. A long time after Moses, David spoke God's message. As we have already seen, he said, you must listen. When you hear God speak today, do not refuse to obey him. Exhort each other. Hear his word today. Joshua had a good run, but man, that's in the past. Oral Roberts, he had a good run. That's finished. Kenneth Hagin, I love these brothers. I read their books, all these people. Billy Graham, powerful book. But that's not today. I love these things you see on Facebook. Taco Tuesday. Or Throwback Thursday. I decided I was going to have a cheat day on my diet. And it's going to be a day of the week that starts with a T. Like today. Because it's always present. Not just Tuesday. I can have tacos today if I want them. But this is what Jesus, they tried to kill him because he said today. And then Paul doubled down on this. And he said, not just is Isaiah for today, but Moses. Today we got something better than Moses. We got something better than the promised land. We got something better than the priesthood. We got something better than the temple. We got something, like Pastor Kim was sharing about the incense going up. We got one today. Better than the angels. Better than anything that you've ever experienced. Paul would say this to the Jews. Better than your whole culture. It doesn't replace what you know. It fulfills it. And it's today. He wasn't replacing the Jews at all. They were going to kill him. Paul said, stone him, wrestled wild beast, snake bit, shipwrecked four times, beaten the head, left for dead. Because he said, today you can enter into this. And he finally said to the Jews, because you judged yourself unworthy, we are going to the Gentiles. And man, the gospel spread throughout the Gentile world. Because the Jews judged themselves unworthy of this righteousness, of this access to God today. I gotta wait till I get my diploma. Then life's gonna change when I graduate from Liberty. Ask an alumni if your life really changes when you graduate. Your life has to change before you graduate from Liberty. Don't wait 3 months. Don't wait 4 months. Amen. Now! It's time! The moment you've been waiting for! Believing in the faith corner! Doubting in procrastination corner. I mean, have you ever watched these fights on television? They start, and this guy is so excited. He's jumping, red in the face, sweating, and he's saying, and now, it's time! And the whole crowd's saying, yeah, it's real time, and the fight is going to start. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. Now, today is the day of salvation. God's not going to heal you. He healed you 2,000 years ago. When did you get saved? I got saved in 1981. Really, I got saved on Calvary 2,000 years ago. I was crucified in Christ. I'm not saved. I was crucified in Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. The Lamb of God, actually before the foundation of the earth, if you read the Bible, I was saved before Adam and Eve ever sinned. Because God was thinking of you and thinking of me. He was thinking of the Congo. He was thinking of President Biden. Pray for President Biden. Nobody else is, maybe. I don't know. People are probably cursing him. The church should be praying for him. I don't vote for him, but I'm not. We got to pray for him. Guy's trying to be nice, trying to be a good Christian, trying to be a good American. Probably doing the best he could. I remember before I got saved, I couldn't be that good. Y'all gone Catholic on me again. On the road to Emmaus, the two disciples, after the resurrection of Christ, their hearts were hardened. And Jesus said, "Why are you slow of heart and hard to believe?" It was sadness. Sadness hardened their hearts. It wasn't because they were atheists, or it was sadness. Or familiarity hardened the hearts. "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph? We know who he is. How can Isaiah become real today through this guy?" Or there's different ways, you know, pain, stuff we are going through right now can harden our hearts. It's not immoral. It's human. And he's saying, today, exhort each other. Don't let the pain you're going through harden your heart from the salvation that's available today. Don't let deceptions or things stop you from hearing God's wisdom for direction today. New steps. Where are you going to go from here? Don't let your heart be hardened. Exhort each other. Slap the person next to you and say, "Today, wake up. Wake up today. Don't be stuck in 1980 with Uncle Rico." What does Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you cannot see." Now faith is. Moses, he went to see Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "Please pray to your God and get rid of all these frogs that were all over Egypt." Frogs. And Moses said, "Okay, God told me that you can decide, you can choose when the frogs will leave. That way you'll know it was God. When do you want me to pray?" And Pharaoh said, "Mañana, tomorrow." One more night with the frogs. If I was Pharaoh, I would say, "Please, now. Get rid of the frogs now. Don't procrastinate. Don't spend one more night with the frogs." Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day for a new song to be written, for a book to be written. The most unlikely people, the most unlikely circumstances. We just had a guy in our church in Paris who was a disc jockey from St. Louis with a mohawk, drug addict. He got saved, moved to Paris. He's in our church. I would say, "We're going to receive an offering right now." "Yes!" He's in the back shouting. He's a radical. He had a blog called The Radical Disciple. He just put out a book this last week, Amazon, number one on Amazon, called A Row with Two Chairs. If y'all are interested in see what happened in Paris. it's not, there's cuss words in the book and stuff, but it's a great book. A Row with Two Chairs. And the most unlikely type person, kind of like the woman who was divorced five times. People you wouldn't expect. Now, faith is. It's the day of salvation for them. Amen. We may not deserve it. We don't. But today is the day God has chosen. It's a great day. It's a great day to be saved, to be led by the Spirit of God, to have miracles happen in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand up with me, please? Pastor, I want to just pray. If you feel stuck, if you feel like you're waiting, I've been on an airplane trying to land, and there's other planes, and so they put you in a holding pattern. Yeah. You're stuck up there. Just, "Would this thing please just land? I want to get out of here. I want to get on with my vacation or my trip or whatever." And many times in life, we feel like we're on this holding pattern. Until I get married, or until I get a house, or until I get more money, or until I'm king, or until I get my diploma. If you feel like you're on that holding pattern, God wants to change it right now. He wants us to be expecting something today. He wants us to be expecting something. If that's you and you feel like you're in a holding pattern and God, you want that God to break that, just raise up your hand wherever you're at. God's going to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God sees your hands. Man, you are going to break through. He sees your hands. He sees your heart. I want you just to take a step forward. Lean on that chair in front of you, just symbolically to God. Just take a step forward and say, God, I'm out of here. I've had enough. I want your freedom with you, oh God. You have heard me call, and you have answered in an acceptable day. Today is that day, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of you need to speak, start taking a foreign language. Some of you need to invest. Some of you need to make a phone call. Get things right. Be free. Be free from things holding you back. Wait. Make a decision right now. I'm not waiting until Christmas when I see my folks or Thanksgiving. I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for confirming your word with signs following. You said if we would draw close to you, you would draw close to us. And I pray for every person here taking a step in their heart towards you, that you would take a huge, giant leap toward them and hug them and heal right now, I pray. Bodies, relationships, situations, I pray in Jesus' name.